On September 11th, 2001, my wife and I lived in Fredericksburg, Virginia, which was about 50 miles down 95 from Washington, D.C. And I was in the middle of teaching a high school class of about 20 students when one of my fellow teachers rushed into the door to the side. I remember it very vividly. His name was Watson, and he rushed into the door and he said, "Brandon, the school is on alert. There are airplanes attacking Washington, D.C. There are airplanes flying around the Pentagon and attacking the World Trade Center." And I remember that moment very vividly because we felt helpless. We felt confused. We did not know what was going on. And in that moment, the students, there was a kind of a mini panic among the students as they realized that many of their parents worked in Washington, D.C. And in fact, some of their parents worked at the Pentagon. And we had no information from the outside. But in those moments of suffering, in those moments, some of the most callous of students prayed to the God they had learned about in Bible class. They didn't know him necessarily, but they knew of him. And they knew that when suffering comes, that's who has the answers. The attendance of churches throughout New York City during this time, the attendance of churches swelled. In New York City, thousands died. And in New York City, everyone knew someone who had suffered greatly. And this great act of God, this great tragedy, this great event of suffering swelled the attendance in local churches. And many churches were ready to care for those cripples. And some churches were not ready at all. Hurricane Katrina had a very similar effect here. This very church, we'll have to save the story for another day, but this very church has a direct connection with Hurricane Katrina. The business that we, the retail shop that we rented and moved into was founded, and a church was established there because of the people from Hurricane Katrina coming into town and going to church for the first time in their lives. But what is it? You know, what is it about these acts of God, these events of great suffering that cause people to go to church? What is it about them? These events of suffering cause people to realize the frailty of life. They realize the true reality that one day they will die. Life is fragile. It is short. These events of suffering cause people to recognize their need. These events of suffering, and here I want you to see this, these massive events of suffering cause people to become spiritual beggars. Spiritual needy people, spiritual cripples. See, this beggar at the gate, he definitely realizes that he is needy. Amen. He definitely realizes that he has needs. But most people in our world walk about life as though everything is fine. And these events come, these events of great tragedy, these acts of God, as they are called. And people are awakened to their need and their frailty. And they become, in a sense, spiritual beggars. They become sometimes physical beggars as well. And as a church, we have to be ready for God to act. We have to be ready for God to attract beggars, cripples to our congregation. Will we be ready, like Peter and John, to give them what they truly need, the medicine of Jesus Christ? That's what we want to talk about this morning. Today we see the Spirit-filled church of Acts chapter 3. And we see especially the leaders, Peter and John, encountering a cripple. Amen. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And he sent us to seek and to save the lost. But the lost are in a real bad state. You realize that? You were in a very bad state before Christ came. And we as a church have to be ready to cope, to care for cripples. Spiritual, physical, emotional cripples, all the sort. So let's look at Acts chapter 3 and let's encounter this cripple. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John, these are the church leaders, were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. They did not expect this. I hope you realize that. They were going about their daily routine of the prayer services, the ceremonial prayer services. They're going to the temple and they don't expect it. And the beggar doesn't expect God to move in such a way. And as they are walking up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, verse 2, and a man lame from birth was being carried, a needy man, a suffering man, a man who knew his need, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. So what are his needs? Physically, he is crippled. He is poor. He is hungry. Spiritually, he is what? Spiritually crippled, spiritually poor, spiritually hungry. Emotionally, he is culturally disdained. He is socially disdained. He is looked upon as the lowest of the low. If you know Jewish society, he is there at this beautiful gate, 75 feet in the air, crumpled in the corner like a dirty sock, a man who is a nothing and a nobody. And he is about to encounter the church. And we're going to get a glimpse of this. Look at verse 3. How does the church cope with this cripple? How does the church care for this needy man? Starting in verse 3. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. He did what many people do when they encounter the church. He asked for money. Verse 4. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us. Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold." That's interesting. We know Peter has access to silver and gold. The church is selling real estate. He has access to it. But he tells the man, "Today I'm not giving you silver and gold. That's not what I have for you today. But what I do have for you, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and he raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them. Notice this phrase, walking and leaping. And he's not just physically healed. He's spiritually healed as well. Notice the next phrase, praising God. Amen. Praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they recognized him as the one who had sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now we are, for the next 3 weeks, going to ask questions of how do we care for cripples this week. Next week we're going to ask, how do we care for the crowds that are attracted by us helping cripples? Because there is a massive crowd which is attracted. And you may not have literally been a cripple, but you have been transformed in many ways by the work of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I know for a fact that your friends and your families notice. And I know for a fact that they're curious about that. And I want to help us as a church care for those crowds of curious folk. What's going on in that guy's life? He is not the same man I used to know. But also, not only do we encounter cripples in chapter 3, and not only do we encounter crowds in chapter 3, you know who else we encounter? Critics. Because soon they're going to be locked in prison, and they're going to be persecuted. And I know for a fact that some of your family aren't just curious, some of them are critics. And some of your friends are as well. And I want to help us through Acts chapter 3. I think God has this for us to learn some lessons here. But today we're going to ask, how do we care for a cripple? And the first lesson we see from this passage is that Peter and John treat the cripple with respect. Amen? And Luke says, he makes it very clear to say that Peter and John told the cripple, "Look at us. Look at us." See, this man was used to sitting in the corner of the gate, in the corner, facing down into the dust with his box anonymously out there, hoping that these religious people coming to the temple might drop an anonymous coin into his box. That was his typical day. His day was not filled with respect. His day was filled with disrespect and indignity. But this man is a son of Adam. This man is made in the image of God. And John and Peter look at him and they engage him as a man. And they say, "Look at us, look at us." There is no cultural disdain in Peter's voice. There is no shame in Peter's voice. There is treating him as though he is made in the image of God, just like Peter. Sure, Peter is an apostle, amen, and he has a certain role in the church. But in the eyes of God, apostles and beggars are on the same equal footing, amen. They are one in the eyes of God. And Peter and John look at him. They don't just flip an anonymous coin into his box. They treat him with great dignity. It reminds me of the Chronicles of Narnia, the big lion. He always calls the children and he treats the children in the books with great respect. Now, you don't think of a massive lion who is singing worlds into existence as having the time to deal with little kids from Nowheresville in England. But when he deals with those little kids, he calls them son of Adam, daughter of Eve. He treats them with great dignity, which they deserve as being made in the image of God. And they're always saying, "What? We're just children from some nowheres town in England." But he treats them with great respect. And I see this here in Acts chapter 3. John and Peter are treating this cripple as though he is made in the image of God. And he is. He is a son of Adam and is to be treated with respect. And I think there's a lesson here for us. There was much charity out there. Listen, there was much charity that is disrespectful and dehumanizing toward the people it is aimed at. There is much charity which is not for the love and the care of other people, but for self-aggrandizement. And we need to be careful about that. Amen, church? You need to be careful that you don't think that you are Jesus, but that you are administering the medicine of Jesus to people who are made in the image of God. And yes, they are cripples. Yes, they are spiritual beggars. But you were too just a few months ago. Amen, church? And here, let me give you some rules that I think will help us with this. Remember that cripples don't need us. Amen. It was Peter's hand that grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up. But it was not the power of Peter that healed him. Peter's hand, God's power. Remember that they do not need us. We are not their savior. Amen. We administer church generosity and the gospel. And let me give you another rule. The cripples are not lucky to have us in their presence. They need Jesus Christ. And let me tell you one last rule. And I think if you keep these rules, you will be saved from being a self-aggrandizing, proud person who gives to charity. Not out of love, but out of disdain for the little people. One last rule. The cripples are sons of Adam, just like you and I. It's just that we met the grace of God a few weeks earlier. Peter says to him, to someone who was culturally disdained, who was shoved in the corner, who typically received anonymous coins, he says to him, look at me. Look at us. And he looked up. Let me give you another lesson here. Peter and John do not give the cripple what he asks for. Why does Peter and John not give the cripple money and gold? Why do they not just flip him some coins and walk on by? There's several reasons for that. One is because cripples have very low expectations. He does not realize who he's dealing with here. He does not realize the power that is in the midst of the church. Amen. I had a conversation with a man in my driveway this week, and he was a door-to-door salesman. He was a great guy. And he said on and on again, I thank God for my life. He said, when he found out I was a preacher, and then that's when this talk comes. I thank God for my life. You know, if it weren't for God, I wouldn't be where I am today. I thank God for my paycheck. And he was just listing all these things that he was so pleased about God. And I was thinking the whole time, you have really low expectations of God. I was like, he could do so much better than a paycheck. I mean, I'm thankful for my paycheck too. And I'm thankful for my job. And I'm thankful that I have breath in my lungs. But let me tell you something else that you don't know about. He sent his son to earth to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sin and to receive the wrath of Almighty God. You see, you have to raise their expectations of what God can do for them. Because cripples have, out of ignorance, really low expectations. So why is it that Peter and John don't give him coins? It's because he needs legs. And they have Jesus. I think that's a wonderful lesson for us. The world, as we encounter the world, we are on mission to seek and to save the lost. But when we meet the lost, I'm telling you, the lost don't know what they need. We have to make sure that we give them what they need. And not necessarily what they ask for. But we must do so with respect. They are children of Adam. They are made in the image of God. Let me give you another lesson here. Peter and John engage in holistic mercy ministry. Now, that word is misused quite a bit today. But what I mean by it is that the mercy ministry that the early church is engaged in with this cripple is not just physical mercy. And it is not just spiritual mercy. It is both. Amen. He's walking and he's leaping and he's praising God as well. Not just walking and on his way to hell, and not just praising God, but in the gutter with no help. He is walking and he is praising God. The church is meeting both physical and spiritual needs. And this is a great move of God, which attracts quite a crowd. And the church is very capable of that. Let me just say this. The government is not made by God to care for the spiritual needs of people. And it's not really very effective at caring for their physical needs as well, as is quite proven. But the church as an institution is designed by God to meet both physical needs through generosity and spiritual needs through the gospel. It's a beautiful thing. The church is able to meet the physical needs and the spiritual needs. And most people believe, and statistics show, that the growth of the church, the massive growth of the church in both South America, in Korea, and in China, is directly linked with people looking to the church to meet needs rather than to the government who has so greatly failed them. We as the church have the ability through generosity in the gospel to meet real needs, but we have to remember it may not be what they ask for, and we must do so with dignity and respect. There was not a needy person among them, the Bible says. Now, next lesson, look at verse 11, if you would, of Acts chapter 3. Just to remind you of this. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? This is a very good lesson for us in caring for cripples. They don't need you. We treat them with respect. Amen. But also we give credit to Jesus Christ. He gives credit to Jesus Christ. And I hate testimonies. And I hate testimonial services of churches where men and women come up and they say, ever since coming to this wonderful church, I've had victory over this. And I've had, listen, it ain't have nothing to do with the church or the club that they're a part of. It is because of Jesus Christ. You say, ever since meeting Jesus Christ, I have had some aid and some help in this area. He gives glory, he gives credit, and he gives honor to Jesus Christ. As we seek and save the lost, Jesus came to this world to do it. We are called to do it as well. But though we have the Holy Spirit, his power, amen. Listen to this, you must understand this. Heaven has not come down yet to earth. The lost are in a real bad state. And events like 9/11, events like Hurricane Katrina, which happened to us, events like the tsunami, things that happen all the way across the world, they have an effect of making spiritual and physical beggars out of people and drawing people into congregations. And I really do believe that that will happen for us. I say all of this and I harp on all of this because I really do believe God will attract in the years to come people to us. But we want to be ready to care for them, to care for their physical needs and their spiritual needs as well. We want to be ready to treat them with respect and with dignity. We want to be ready to point to Jesus Christ as the one who has the real power. But more than that, listen, more than that, even if there is not some catastrophic event, some people in here right now are going through their own personal tsunami. Their own personal suffering. And you have friends and you have family members who are going through times of suffering. And in those great times of suffering, they begin to ask questions like, you know, what is life all about? What is the purpose of life? And they look to you. You claim to have the answers for that. Amen. And as we as a church go out to seek and to save the lost, we must realize that people are going through those individual sufferings, those individual 9/11s and tsunamis, and that those things cause them to ask questions. They cause them to have needs. They make spiritual and physical beggars out of them. And we must be ready to administer to them the medicine of Jesus Christ. Amen, church. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for help in this. Father God, as you sent us out to seek and to save the lost, we pray that we would be ready, Lord God, that we would expect you to move in our community, that we would expect you to move in our midst, that we would expect you to attract people to our congregation, Lord God. May we learn from Peter and John how to care for cripples rightly, Lord God. There are spiritual beggars out there, Lord, and spiritual cripples and physical cripples. And we as a church must be ready to give what is very needed and greatly needed today, Lord. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ and the generosity of the church body, Lord. We ask for your help in this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.